Audacity. The St. Lucian Prime Minister has the virus and is working from home. That and more coming up in the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards. But first, this major DPP decision in Jamaica. Jamaica's Director of Public Prosecutions, Paula Llewellyn, has ruled that no criminal charges be laid against a female police accused. The female officer was accused of cutting a Clarendon woman's dreadlocks while in custody in 2021. The ruling, however, does not preclude the Clarendon woman, Nzinga King, from pursuing civil remedies in relation to her complaint. Here's CVM News with a comprehensive report on a matter which attracted island-wide, regional, and international attention.
Scores of Jamaicans and Rastafarians incensed by the media reports that Ms. King's dreadlock was allegedly cut by a female police while in lockup at the Four Paths police station rallied around the Clarendon family for months. The wait for a ruling on the matter ended after several months, but not how some would have hoped. The DPP in her ruling recommended that no criminal charges be brought against the accused female police in respect of the allegations made by Ms. King, in agreement with the Indicom findings on the issue. She also recommended that a male officer accused of assault occasioning bodily harm relating to Ms. King's arrest, disorderly conduct and abusive language not be criminally charged, also in agreement with the Indicom findings. The DPP notes this did not prevent Ms. King from, however, pursuing civil remedies in the matter, adding civil proof is on a balance of probabilities, which is lower than the criminal standard, which is proof beyond a reasonable doubt. While the DPP admits no recommendations have been made regarding King and the offense of creating public mischief, she says her office is aware the police have primacy of decision-making on investigations and laying charges. She says it's a matter entirely for them if they believe there is sufficient basis to pursue this line of investigation against King. Attorney representing Ms. King, Isat Buchanan, says the ruling was anticipated but will not deter them from justice.
We are not surprised by the DPP's ruling in the case of Nzinga King, and the ruling does not affect access to justice in the civil court. And so in the normal course of things, I will be taking detailed instructions from the client to proceed in the civil court.
However, among the factors considered in the matter, the DPP notes that witness statements from those who interacted with Ms. King while in lockup pointed to King being the one who allegedly, quote, popped out her locks and allegedly told her cellmates she was planning on coloring her hair red. One witness alleges that King, quote, popped them out one by one, end quote. The witness alleges King also said, quote, she was keeping them for the police to nyam them, end quote. Nika Lewis, CVM Live.
St. Lucia's Prime Minister Philip J. Pear has been diagnosed positive for COVID-19. The Prime Minister spoke to NBC Prime News, confirming that he was working from home.
In a statement issued by the Office of the Prime Minister on Wednesday, February 9th, 2022, as part of the protocols established by the Office of the Prime Minister, Honorable Philip J. Pear underwent a routine PCR test on Tuesday, February 8th, 2022. Honorable Pear received a positive PCR test result. As per public health protocols, he is presently isolated and will continue working from home. The Prime Minister is doing well and exhibits no symptoms at this time. Prime Minister Pierre's full recovery is anticipated within the next few days. NBC Prime spoke with the Honorable Prime Minister and got the exclusive.
I'm doing well. I have absolutely no symptoms. I did my gym this morning and I'm doing fine. I think that the vaccination helped me. As you know, I'm double vaxxed, and I also took the booster. So I'm doing great. I'm working from home for that matter, and I should be out very soon.
Another head of government who caught the virus in April of 2021, Dr. Keith Rowley of Trinidad and Tobago, who subsequently recovered days later. Antigua's opposition leader Jamal Pringle on Thursday took some pot shots at the government as he led off debate on the budget in Parliament. Pringle accused the Gaston Brown-led administration of mismanaging some sectors of the economy and called on the Prime Minister to change his approach to ensure better management.
How they're going to create new employment? All the new jobs are coming. But coming from where, Mr. Speaker? because I know jobs just don't fall out the sky. And we cannot continue like this, Mr. Speaker. Look at what we're faced with today. Nearly every sector of government is protesting for monies owed to them. The Minister of Health, I know, have his hand full. His hand full, Mr. Speaker. Because it's not only the rubbish, the garbage collection people are having issues. Every single person is having issues with the national solid waste.
St. Vincent is much like a pile of rocks with fertile soil on it, Prime Minister Ralph Gonsalves said on radio as he defended his government's decision to lease 58.8 acres of land to a St. Lucian firm for 30 years to operate a stone quarry. Eyewitness News also quotes Gonsalves as saying that the quarry is going to create a lot of employment and vital for the construction industry, labeling the move as part of the development of the country. The Prime Minister was speaking after residents of North Leeward, including farmers who will be displaced, objected to the quarry and the manner in which the work started without any public information consultation. Gonsalves has admitted that his government made a mistake in not consulting with the farmers prior to starting the quarry project, denying that it was meant to be disrespectful.
Even the persons who have lands over where the quarry is going to be, they support the project, you know. You notice that they're saying, well, you dropped the ball. You should have talked to us. Never mind you tell them that you had a conversation in an earlier stage. The truth is this, they're right. The relevant officials in the ministries should have gone and dealt with this. With this matter. It's a straightforward thing, but it's not that they should have done it, even though they had done before. No, there was a different investor. But it's not disrespect by the government. It's an error, but not disrespect. Because you know that we always talk to persons, always consult with them.
In Trinidad and Tobago, the government is belatedly attempting to assist a woman whose operation ended in complications that she's still trying to deal with 3 years later. TV6 News has this report.
Minister of Health Terence Dayal Singh says he was deeply distressed after learning of the case of Catherine Akumlum, the woman whose pelvic area was mistakenly washed with lye after she underwent a hysterectomy at the St. James Medical Complex in 2019. The woman claimed that 2 years and counting, nobody had an account for the error. When Akumlum revealed her situation to the Trinidad Express last weekend, she was pleading with the Northwest Regional Health Authority for assistance to get US$116,000 in order to travel to the US for ureteral reconstructive surgery, scheduled for February 17th.
I wish we could turn back the clock, but we can't. It has disturbed me very, very deeply. And I pushed, even though they were already, it was already done and dusted, the Northwest RHA to make all the resources available so that she could leave the country on Saturday. I think that's the scheduled date of departure. The wire transfers have been done. I think close to $500,000 has already been paid out, but that will not compensate her. But it is very, very disturbing. And as a human being, as a son, if that, you know, was my mother, I would be distressed.
Minister Dayal Singh says he's unable to say much more as the matter is before the courts. But he is giving an assurance that everything would be done to provide support to Ms. Akumlum during her recovery.
It is among Dominica's well-known natural wonders, and it is a staple on tourist brochures advertising the island. However, with guidance from the authorities, Roy Sanford is explaining why these visitors should stay away from that very popular natural wonder.
The Boiling Lake, the second largest of its type in the world, is a flooded fumarole from a volcano. But if you plan to visit, it is not possible at this time since the area has been shut down. This after photos appeared on social media this week showing visitors swimming in it at a time when the lake is undergoing what authorities describe as quote-unquote a period of instability. The photos have since gone viral, causing an uproar and prompting the Forestry Division to totally shut down the site. It said only those who receive prior approval are allowed to visit. Anybody caught swimming, walking, or doing any such activities in or surrounding the boiling lake will be dealt with accordingly, the division said in a strongly worded statement. It said acts, such as what were seen in the photos, are considered irresponsible and unwarranted. And quote, doing so put the lives of the visitors and our officers at risk, especially in the event of a rescue. End of quote. The University of the West Indies Seismic Research Center said the present instability at the boiling lake began in November 2021 when significant drop in water levels were observed. Although such occurrences are not new, warnings were issued that the risk of harmful gases such as carbon dioxide and steam explosions heighten when they take place. Warnings were issued that visits to the lake should be avoided. Going down to the shores of the boiling lake has ended in death before, according to historian Dr. Lennox Honeychurch. He said in 1901, an English visitor ignored the warning of guides and climbed down to the lakeside. He was suffocated to death by poisonous gases. A guide who went down to assist was also killed. Dr. Honeychurch's message, don't play with the boiling lake.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Friday, 11th February. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.